Today, as you listen to this passage of Scripture from Matthew chapter 22 and then from Philippians chapter 1, I want you to be mindful of how it is that God instructs us to keep the main thing the main thing. One day, a Pharisee, an expert in the law, tested Jesus by asking this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And a second like it is this, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and all the prophets hang on these two commandments." That was Jesus' way of instructing the Pharisees and the people of his day what it meant to keep the main thing the main thing. Likewise, the Apostle Paul, in reflecting with the church of his day, said these words that are so very appropriate for the church of our day. "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel, from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of us share God's grace together." God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection that comes through Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best, and that you may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God." This is the word of God for us this day. I invite you to please be seated. Today, as we prepare to focus on God's word, I invite you to join with me in a word of prayer. Gracious Lord, thank you so much for allowing us to be partners in ministry. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who loved us, who came to live on earth among us, to die for us, to rise again to new life, that we might have life when we believe in you and your promises. Lord, help us this day to keep the main thing the main thing. Amen. So just a couple of introductory remarks that I want to make before I start the sermon today. First of all, for those of you wearing purple, my, you look good. Not that the rest of you don't, but you really look good in purple. Thank you for indulging me and wearing my favorite color today. I really appreciate that. Also, I want to thank you for those of you who have tolerated me so shamelessly continuing to show pictures of my grandchildren. I'd like to think that this picture of Remy, who is going to be 5 in just a week and a half, and his little sister, Safira, who just turned 2, who love each other so very much. They really do. And I'd like to think that this is the expression that in which they embraced when they first heard that I was going to retire, and that I now get to spend some more time with them. I'd also like to think that our youngest grandchild, Andy, who just turned 1, I'd like to think in my own mind that this is the expression he had on his face when he heard about my retirement and could spend more time with him as well. At least that's what I'd like to think. I also want to thank you for pretending to make connections between all my garden stories and what I happened to be preaching that particular day, I discovered throughout the years that I harvested far more than vegetables from my garden. I harvested a whole lot of sermon illustrations. And I look forward to being able to spend a little more time this gardening season in my garden sanctuary. I also want to thank you for always seeing my point of view and understanding that when I told Brother Rick's stories, you heard them from my perspective and as I remembered how those stories played out. So I want to thank you for that. And finally, I want to thank you for all of the retirement suggestions that I've been receiving. The preschoolers weighed in quite heavily in this. And I've been, you know, since I'm a rookie retiree and I really don't know what I don't know about retirement, they've been helping me. And I received several invitations to pool parties. There's nothing like a preschool pool party. And I've had some invitations to play baseball. Actually, several of my softball buddies are here today, which is really fun. Both church softball players and some of the senior softball players have come to worship with us today. There's some major league caliber softball players out there. That's it's really fun playing with those buddies. So maybe the preschoolers can come and play with us when we do that. And then one of the preschoolers wanted to take me on a rocket ship ride into the sky. I'm not sure what our destination is, but it sounds like quite an adventure. I also had other invitations to go and play soccer, and because I'm getting older, I could sleep all day. Maybe especially after playing soccer, to go to the playground with some other preschoolers. And then one wants to go to the mall because they've got a bowling alley and he thought it'd be fun. And his mom thought that'd be a great idea for me to take him to the bowling alley. And she said she'd call me. I didn't have to call her when it was time to come again. And then one of them said, since I'm retiring, I now can eat all I want, and drew that oversized picture on your right. And in case you don't recognize me in retirement, I'm the guy in the middle. That's what I'm going to look like after I've been looking at the sun all day, I think. So thank you for all those suggestions. That's very helpful. Now I know what I can do in retirement. So the big question is, what does a pastor preach in his very last sermon after he's been a pastor for over 40 years, 22 of which I've been blessed to be right here with you at Good Shepherd? What does one preach? After all, I've preached hundreds of sermons, right? When you count up Saturday night and Sunday morning, all the Holy Week services, when you factor in Lenten services, weddings, when you put in funerals, First Communion, confirmation, the pie thing sermon, one of my favorites. When you factor all of those sermons in, hundreds of sermons over 40-some years, and the pastor is tempted to think, if they haven't gotten it by now, is one more really going to make any difference? You know, let's be realistic here, you know, right? Well, the answer to that is, of course, a pastor, whether it's the first or the last or anywhere in between, a pastor is always called to preach what God calls that pastor to preach. Namely, the Word of God and the good news of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And so in that spirit, we're going to focus on those things this day. When Jesus was asked a similar kind of question about the greatest commandment, and it really was in that same vein of that kind of question, he responded this way: love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. When the Apostle Paul was faced with that kind of a question, he proclaimed this: I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. In other words, as one pastor around here has been quoted as saying from time to time, keep the main thing, the main thing. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to keep the main thing, by taking a look at one of my all-time favorite Bible passages from Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. I commend that passage of Scripture to you. to read it, to study it, memorize parts of it if you're able to do. It's so rich. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Now, I'm not going to name any individual names today. Not even my brother Rick. I'm not going to do that. Those of you who know the brother Rick stories can fill the others in. There are far too many of you who I'm remembering today. Too many of you whom I'm thanking God for today. And I'm not going to run the risk of missing even one of your names, because each and every one of you is precious in God's sight. Each and every one of you is a child of God. Each and every one of you has your own particular God stories in which God has reached in and touched your life in a particular way. Each and every one of you has been gifted by God in a particular way to be the person God created you to be. Each and every one of you I consider to be partners in the gospel. And I thank God for each and every one of you this day and on into the future. You know, today's rather nostalgic for Shay and me. Now, Shay is the one exception to the name thing. That's the one name, besides Jesus, of course, that I'm going to mention in the sermon today because, well, I've got to live with her, you know. And many of you have been praying for her already because you've already connected the dots and realized that not her choice necessarily. She's going to have to spend a lot more time with me than she's accustomed to. So, yes, please keep praying for Shay. Yes, today is quite nostalgic, both in thinking about each of you, but also in remembering my very first sermon. I'm not talking about my first sermon here at Good Shepherd. I'm talking about my very first sermon, way back when. Interestingly enough, it was not in a church. It was not in a pulpit of any kind. No, it was instead in a cattle trough. Yeah, interesting story. It's a sermon that I preached several years ago in which I chronicled that sermon. That sermon was entitled Bovine Believers. Now, I'm not talking about freckled bovine here. No, that's another story for another time. Instead, I'm talking about Herefords and Angus, cattle with real attitude. Real attitude. Some of you may remember that I grew up on a farm in southwestern Minnesota, and one of my responsibilities was to do the chores, to feed the cattle at night. And I took that responsibility very seriously. You know, that was important in our family. I also had a confirmation pastor who suggested that I should pray about becoming a pastor. Well, I was praying about that, and as I thought about that, I thought, you know, if that's going to happen, maybe I should find a receptive audience to practice preaching on. And so one day, in a very spirit-filled moment, as I was going out to do the chores, I stepped out of the silage wagon with my bushel basket full of feed and corn, and it was like the Spirit just came over me. I saw this audience in front of me, and I could tell that they were ready for what I had to share. So before I emptied that bushel basket full of silage and corn and feed into the trough, I began to preach. Oh, I could tell they were ready. They were ready for what I had to share. I could tell by their mooing. And the longer I held that basket, the louder their mooing became. In fact, so hungry were they for the word that they began to drool. I mean, it was quite a sight. And as I held that basket and kept that feed from them, they just mooed louder and louder. They were bellowing by the time. And I knew that that was their way of saying, amen, brother, preach it. You know, in that communion-like moment, I then spread the feed into the trough, and I've never seen the cattle lap it up quite like they did that day. What a communion experience it was. Of course, they've never had to wait quite that long before they ate. Nevertheless, that was, in my mind, that sermon, quite a success. Yeah. So, as delightfully delusional as that story may be, even though it's a true story, I have been truly blessed by many spirit-filled moments, much more significant than that one, in which God has truly worked in my life. And for that, I'm grateful. When Shay and I first arrived at Good Shepherd here 22-plus years ago, we discovered Good Shepherd truly to be a spirit-filled, mission-minded, Christ-centered church. And it still is. It still is. That's who Good Shepherd is. Today, as I remember you, I thank God for the ways in which you have continued to keep the main thing, as you have moved forward in ministry in sync with our vision statement, and that is to reach and transform spiritually distracted people so they love and serve God. Today, as I remember you and thank God for you, I thank God for Christ Renews His Parish, for CHIRP, that spiritual retreat that has transformed, in which God has transformed, so many lives. Today, as I remember you, I thank God for Fusion and all those children and families who have been blessed through that particular ministry, and the fact that now the number of families that have a family member with special needs has now quadrupled at Good Shepherd. Today, as I remember you, I thank God for all the mission trips in which Good Shepherd members have provided medical, dental, optical, hygiene, construction care for so many people worldwide who simply could not afford it. Today, as I remember you, I thank God for your faithfulness in worship, your intentionality in prayer, and for your giftedness, your God-given giftedness in music and in hospitality and in administration and decor and all those other gifts with which God has blessed you. Today, as I remember you, I thank God for our preschool, which, like for Shay and I, has now been in existence here at Good Shepherd for 22-plus years. They're in their 23rd year. And for all the people who made their connection with Good Shepherd through the preschool. Today, as I remember you, I thank God for Vacation Bible School and for Sparks and for our nursery. Today, as I remember you, I thank God for Eternal Impact and for Fuel and for Faith Walk and Faith Incubators. Today, as I remember you, I thank God for Ignite and Work Camp and winter retreats like the one our senior high students and their leaders are on this very weekend. Today, as I remember you, I thank God for our OWLS ministry, the older, wiser Lutheran servants. Today, as I thank and remember you, I thank God for our marriage ministry, for Hope for Mental Health Initiative. Today, as I remember you, I thank God for our Stephen ministers, for our visitation care team. Today, as I remember you, I thank God for our church softball teams and those other softball teams which I've had the privilege of playing. And I'm trusting that those of you who I may have taken out at second base, that you've forgiven me for that and remembered that I tried to help you up and I always visited you in the hospital during rehab. And I hope you remember that part of that. Today, as I remember you, I thank God for the pastors with whom I have had the privilege of serving, each and every one, gifted in their own special ways. that have truly made an impact in my life, in the life of so many others, including you. Today, as I remember you, I thank God for our church staff, among the finest with whom I've ever had the privilege of serving. And I've had the opportunity to serve with some phenomenal staff members. Today, as I remember you, I thank God for our church council and our church councils and the way in which you've provided leadership all these many years. Today, as I remember you, I thank God for all the people whom God has brought to and through this place and the growth numerically and spiritually that we have experienced together. Today, as I remember you, I thank God for all of the missions, local, national, and global, which have truly made a difference as you reached out to care for the hungry, the homeless, and the hurting. Today, as I remember you, I thank you for all the ministries that I have not yet named by name, ministries like Feed My Starving Children. And I'm thinking about those 1,200 of you from Good Shepherd that joined our community last year, some 6,000 strong, 1,200 from Good Shepherd, who packed over 1.2 million meals so that thousands of children could eat and live to see their next birthday while they heard the word of God. And if we had 1,200 last year, how about 1,500 this year? Because I get to be at Feed the Need, which is President's Day weekend, February 15th and 16th this year at North Central College. And I'm going to offer the invitation like I've offered it before. And that's with full respect for each of you, knowing that you're very important people, knowing that you have busy lives and busy schedules, and I respect that. And I know that you make good decisions, really good decisions about everything you do in life. So if you have something more important to do than feeding a starving child President's Day weekend, we're going to respect that decision. And if you have something more important to do than feeding a child who won't live to see their next birthday without that food, then by all means do it and let me know what it is, because I want to celebrate with you. But if you're able to be among the 1,500 that are going to be from Good Shepherd at Feed the Need this coming February 15th and 16th, President's Day weekend, I get to see you there as we get to focus on the main thing, sharing God's love in tangible ways, sharing God's love in meaningful ways. Those are the kinds of things that God truly calls us to do. The God who knows each and every one of us by name. I thank God for the privilege of getting to know you by name, to get to know your stories, getting to know your life experiences, getting to share in your special, significant spiritual moments. I thank God for all of that. I thank God, the one who knows each of us by name, for as the song goes, I have a maker. He formed my heart. Before even time began, my life was in his hand. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call. You know, I've had a lot of mentors since those bovine believer days who have been much more impactful upon me in my life than that day on our family farm in the cattle yard. And I thank God for each and every one of them. I also thank God, who has blessed me with a wonderful wife, with two great sons, two very special daughters-in-law, and three precious grandchildren, and multiple congregations filled with people like you, whom God has brought into my life and has blessed me and enabled me to grow as a child of God, whom God happened to call to be a pastor. And I thank God for the special calling that he has placed upon each of your lives, no matter what your vocation may be. One of the valuable lessons that I've learned along the way as a pastor is that people don't really care how much you know until they know how much you care. You see, that's part of keeping the main thing the main thing. And the one, Almighty God who created us, and his precious Son, Jesus Christ, who saved us, and the Holy Spirit who inspires us and comforts us, is the one who wants us to be in right, outright, upright, downright happy all the time. Now, I'm not talking about some superficial kind of happiness here. I'm talking about that deep-rooted joy that undergirds us even during our dark times. I'm talking about that joy that passes all understanding and allows us to have that peace of God that passes all understanding, that kind of joy that uplifts us no matter what our outward circumstances, that allows us to be in right, outright, upright, downright happy all the time. And so I'm going to ask you one last time to sing a song with me. I'm not singing this for you. This is with me. And I promise you that if you're good and you sing this with enthusiasm, I'll never ask you ever again as your pastor to do this, okay? I think that's a promise I can keep, okay? So the preschoolers know it and they do it really well. I'm guessing you probably got the ability to do it well. We're going to sing this song together. We're going to put the words on the screen. And it goes like this, so you kind of get the idea. I'm in right, outright, upright, downright. You kind of figure out the pattern. Okay. Happy all the time. Big smile. As big a one as you can make, even if you have to fake it, okay? Since Jesus Christ came in and cleansed, some of us need to do a lot of scrubbing, cleansed my heart from sin, a little devilish here, sin. I'm in right, outright, upright, downright, happy all the time. Okay, you got it? Okay, words on the screen. Pointer fingers. Got every pointer fingers ready. Now, you know, we're filming this, so I can look back and check the video and see who didn't participate. Okay? So are you ready? Pointer fingers, you ready? Okay. You're ready. Okay, here we go. I'm in right, out, right, up, right, down, right, happy all the time. I'm in right, out, right, up, right, down, right, happy all the time. Since Jesus Christ came in and cleansed my heart from sin, I'm in right, out, right, up, right, down, right, happy all the time. Pretty good. Good job. Now, that was really good. Now, thank you for applauding yourselves. That was really good. We have sung a lot of really good music today. I know I picked it out. But if ever there was a signature song, it is this one for me. And In Right Outright. So one more time, now that you really know it, and choir, I promised you this will be the last time, okay? They've been saying it all morning. That's why they're so good at it. Okay. Ready? One more time. With gusto. Here we go. I'm in right, out, right, up, right, down, right, happy all the time. I'm in right, out, right, up, right, down, right, happy all the time. Since Jesus Christ came in and cleansed my heart from sin, I'm in right, out, right, up, right, down, right, happy all the time. Good job. Give yourself a big hand. See how easy it is to keep the main thing? Because that song talks about the basics. Talks about our love for Jesus who loves us and cleanses us from our sin. And it talks about the one who knows us each by name. The one who not only knows us each by name, he knows everything about us. And he has an eternal destiny for each and every one of us. Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, I thank you so much for the privilege of being a partner in ministry with these precious people. Thank you so much for the blessings they have brought into Shay's and my life, and the blessings they have brought into the lives of, oh, so many others. Thank you for what you have done, are doing, and will do through these precious people on into the future. Lord, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you for your plans for each of us in the future you have in store for all of us. In your name we pray. Amen. Back at you. Back at you. Thank you. Thank you. You didn't do that.